Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. The headquarters of the Irish Post Office, the GPO in Dublin, is famous for the central role it played in the 1916 Easter Rising, the armed rebellion which sought to end British rule in Ireland. But during the First World War, it was the bustling hub of a vital communications link between families and friends at home and thousands of soldiers serving at the front. Stephen Ferguson from An Post explores the wartime role of this iconic building.
The GPO in 1914 was actually in a period of construction. The office, which had been very tiny and cramped for a long time, had at last got a big revamp, and the Board of Works and the architects were trying to make it into a spacious, elegant office, like what we have today. Today we have lovely high pillars, marble, everything that's giving a sense of importance, and also, I think, of the vitality of the post office and its role in communications at that time 100 years ago. Of course, everything was destroyed in the 1916 Rising, so where we're standing today was a wreck.
We hereby proclaim the Irish Republic as a sovereign, independent state, and we pledge our lives and the lives of our comrades in arms to the cause of its freedom, of its welfare, and of its exaltation among the nations.
In 1914, this would have been the hub for all communications. As the war was going on, letters became essential for families and friends at home and for the soldiers who were off at the front. There were also telegrams. In the floor just above us was where the central telegraph office was, the instrument room, as they called it. And upstairs there would have been a staff of clerks who were skilled at Morse code. There would have been a few telephones, but the main telephone exchange wasn't actually in this building. It was in another building across the river. And there would also have been a lot of business on the financial side. The Post Office Savings Bank was set up in 1861. If you had a few bob to spare, you put it in the post office. If you were a woman whose husband had maybe joined up and gone to the war, you would have been expecting regular payments, what were called separation payments, and they were all paid through the post office.
Now, this is here, so I didn't get mine. The forms is all gone through. Is that it?
That's the medical card, really, there.
It's certainly safe to say that there was a very big increase in all forms of postal business during the war years. There were little things, for instance, in the little museum we have here. There's a prisoner of war postcard. And the same thing, of course, worked for some German prisoners who were here. So the postal system kept prisoners and soldiers and families in touch with each other. And telegrams were a vital form of communication between the government here and London in keeping an eye on what were turning out to be fairly momentous political changes in Ireland at that time. The news of the rebellion here in Dublin, that was carried by telegram. Sinn Féin rebellion broken out in Dublin, post office wrecked, situation not satisfactory, which was a nice understatement at the time. The post office, because it was a regimented organization, there had always been a tendency to recruit ex-army people into the post office. Certainly after the war, there was an official policy that men who had been disabled in some way or other were to be accommodated as far as possible with post office jobs.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
What can I do for you today?
Can I have two stamps, please?
The importance of the mail boats really can't be underestimated during the First World War and at that time. The main route was from Dunleary, or Kingstown as it was in those days, over to Holyhead. The mail boats had a staff, a regular staff of postal clerks. The post that was delivered onto the ship would then be sorted at the bottom of the ship and made ready for dispatch and onward journey through the railway system in Britain. The Leinster was one of the most famous of these ships, and it knew that it was the subject of potential submarine attacks. And even though it had requested naval escorts out of Kingstown, the Navy authorities, the Admiralty, decided that because the ships were so fast, and if they zigzagged, they'd be able to avoid the torpedoes. This worked up until a month before the end of the First World War, when a German submarine spied the Leinster and fired torpedoes at it. The ship was hit, and over 500 people were lost. It's the biggest disaster of maritime disaster on the Irish Sea. Included amongst those were all but one of the postal staff who were sorting the mail on the bottom. And we have a little plaque up to them here to remember the duty and the sacrifice of the postal staff who played such an important part in the communications at the time.
The GPO in Dublin. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.